like you said, I am the immediate past president for the Utah Public Health Association. I'm excited to be here today to talk to you about the different things that Utah is doing to engage students. There'll be some similarities to Kentucky, some differences. We are not a campus-based organization. We are affiliated with the professional organization, and our activities kind of follow that model. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So looking at the mission of these of your professional organizations in your states that you're working, you know, we often wonder, how do we engage students? How do we bridge that gap between the academic world and the professional practicing public health people? And if you look at most of your mission statements, I imagine they're very similar to UPHA's that talks about how we want to support the public health workforce. You know, we want to create a workforce that's the most competent it can be for whatever public health challenges are in front of us. And UPHA saw this as an opportunity to engage students in just following along what they already established as their mission and goals. So that's when they created the Student Assembly. We were formally organized in 2010. We transitioned into a section following kind of APHA's strategy of caucus to section. After 4 years of showing sustainable membership, we are a co-presidency. So there are two student representatives from any one of the universities in Utah that serve on the board as board members. We get one vote that represents the student interest and kind of the different desires of the students in Utah. And the co-presidency has been really a really successful model for us and been really attractive to students because of the time that it takes to be on a board. Students have very busy schedules. They have a lot of other things going on. That co-presidency allows them to share the responsibilities and also, while also giving two leadership opportunities to students who are looking to engage with professionals. Our original primary purpose was actually to engage students at the annual conference that we have every year. We started networking with one of the largest universities in Utah to figure out how can we get students to the annual conference. Since then, we've not only done that, but established our primary purpose to be more about networking and professional development, not just at the conference, but at a number of activities throughout the year. As you can see, our growth in student membership has been quite substantial in those 5 years. We doubled it for the first couple years, moving from 9 to now 46 student members. That doesn't include the number of students that we actually communicate with, but these are the number of paid members. There's four types of memberships within UPHA. There is an annual membership fee for students. It's $20. That doesn't really seem to be a barrier in membership for us because of the benefits that they get with that membership, which includes access to a job board and a number of other things that I'll go into in more detail. But you can kind of see how we are modeled. The UPHA board does oversee all of the student assembly committees. We have those co-presidents that, again, do serve as board members. But then we have university representatives that are established at all of our graduate programs, a professional development committee, conference planning committee, and policy and advocacy committee. And these mirror the UPHA committees as well, so that there's good communication between everyone and there's no one getting lost as we go throughout the year. This is our beautiful map of the state of Utah. As you can see, there are 7 four-year universities that have public health or health promotion degrees, or emphasis both graduate and undergraduate. And don't let this map deceive you, though. You know, one of the things that we really struggle with in Utah, one of our challenges, are demographic issues. This looks very close together, but there are hours in between each of these universities, and keeping students engaged across that wide demographic area is quite difficult. Luckily, technology has really been useful. We are all, I think this next generation is very comfortable with email, Skype, phone communication, everything like that. We've been able to really establish student representation across all of these universities. But because I like to end on a high note, I first want to talk about the challenges that we have had in Utah. And as you're thinking in your affiliate organizations how to engage students, you know, these are just some of the things we're still working through. Again, those demographic issues. And also student turnover. When you are trying to engage graduate students, you've only got them for 2 years, unless they're in a PhD program. And even then, There's so many other responsibilities and doing those PhDs that can be quite a challenge. And that's why actually as a co-presidency, we have kind of a senior president and then a newer president. So we have someone who's been established in the presidency for at least a year. That co-presidency is a 2-year position, and then someone new. So you kind of have this continual cycle of someone who's been in for a while and then someone who's new who's learning the ropes. And that's worked really, really well for us so far. Another challenge is this kind of culture change of mentoring. Public health hasn't traditionally been a field that really encourages mentoring or has established mentoring practices. That is something that has been a change for us in going to professionals and saying, hey, we want you to come talk to a bunch of students. And the professionals are like, what does that mean? Do I have to do a lot of time for this? Is this going to eat up my schedule? I'm already busy. And then in 2013, we did a survey of all public health students in the state of Utah. We had 190 respondents to understand their attitudes and beliefs towards professional organizations and what would they want, what membership benefits would they want to have, how would they like to engage with UPHA. And that was just because as a relatively new student assembly, we really wanted to have our focus be driven by what students wanted. So when we asked them why they weren't members at this point, most of them were just unfamiliar, which was kind of sad for us because we were working so hard to promote our name, but obviously we need to do a little bit better. A good quarter of students said they were way too busy. You know, professional organizations weren't worth their time. They had other things they wanted to focus on. And some did mention membership fees being a little too high. So in addressing some of these challenges, one of the things that we've really, really promoted is engaging those students early. If we want to prevent some of the issues that come with student turnovers, we've got to get them started as soon as possible into either their graduate degree or as soon when they hit that point in their undergrad of, oh, I want to go into public health. We want to be there to help them. So we really promote those leadership opportunities, you know, that you get to be on the board. Every university has a representative, you know, connect with them. And we do attend all of the orientations. UPHA, both the co-presidents for the student assembly and a board member, attend the orientations of all MPH programs. And that's a really, not only has it allowed us to get to know the universities better, but it allows us to really engage students at their orientation about what a professional organization is, how they can get involved, and what benefit that would be to them. We also do a huge communication blast at the beginning of the academic year, and that took a little bit of time to get started as well because the UPHA calendar year is kind of from our annual conference, which is not at the start of the academic year. So it had to take a little bit more effort to get that momentum in our affiliate organization. And we also spotlight students every month in our monthly newsletter, which is a great exposure for the students and an opportunity to also get the professionals to be aware of what's going on and what students may be coming into their field. So, again, this is data from that survey that we did. These are a lot of perceived benefits of membership of a professional organization. But those top four that you can see are probably not too surprising to you. They want to network. They want access to jobs. They want access to scholarships. And then this idea of professional development of how can I be the best public health professional out there. So this is what we've done in response to that survey and in response to the student desires. You know, we've hosted a number of networking events. And these are networking events, again, we're not campus-based. We're spread across all the campuses. So these are students from all the universities in Utah and professionals from all of the different cities in Utah. We did a speed mentoring event at our annual conference, which was exactly how it sounds, like speed dating. We did meet a grad student for lunch, where we contracted a mentor with a student to have lunch at their own time. And then again, a night of networking, which is a little bit more in depth than the speed mentoring, but where there was actually dinner provided and matched students again with professionals based on their interests. We do have a job board, and this focuses on jobs in Utah, and it's emailed weekly through a Google Doc And so far, since we started in 2013, we've had over 3,650 jobs emailed. This is a big project. A lot of work goes into it. But I think a lot of students are struggling with finding jobs right now. So this has been a big push for us and a big member benefit. And again, I can't emphasize this enough, the open access to leadership opportunities and access to professionals is huge when we're going through these different professional development goals. At our annual conference, you know, this has been a big plus for us, is strengthening those relationships with universities. They're encouraged to be sponsors and exhibitors and get their students there. Students get to present their research and academic projects. And it's a smaller venue. You know, we were talking earlier about how intimidating APHA can be if it's your first time here. I mean, you're here with thousands of other professionals. At UPHA, it's still a little intimidating, but we're talking hundreds instead of thousands. And these are the people in your community that you hopefully want to be working with. We also have a number of scholarships that we offer. There's not only scholarships for conference attendance, which we have worked with the universities to help us with, but we also do have academic scholarships that we have established with the universities to promote student engagement and help them financially through their career, their academic career. We do have a number of community engagement activities that we do as well, and working with the UPHA Policy and Advocacy Group, we have an annual summit, and the students get to really engage with legislative members. They get access to them, which is really neat. And then we also host several different Public Health Week activities. This picture is from a photo scavenger hunt that we did across the community to promote the idea. Most people say, what is public health? I have no idea. And this is what we wanted to do to help promote community awareness. So in conclusion, you know, UPHA has really worked hard because networking is seen as the greatest benefit for students. That's what they want. When I came out of my undergraduate, it was very much, oh, if you're smart, you'll get a job. It'll be great. When I came out of my graduate program, it was like, good luck. You need access to professionals. You need to know people. And if you don't know people, then good luck, because it's a hard world out there right now. And students know that. They want that one-on-one interaction with professionals. And so there is a need for mentors to do that, to encourage that one-on-one interaction. And a professional organization can offer that already strong existing network. And the reality at the end of the day is that the health of our communities will only be as strong as the workforce. So that is what we have tried to address at UPHA. And that is it.